All right, guys. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Can I get a little motivation, a little energy? I want you to be excited with me. This is Juan Santos over at Counselor's Journey, and we are going to dive into another episode all about teaching you mental health professionals how to A, start, B, grow, C, scale a six-figure counseling private practice without feeling overwhelmed. Let's do it. Let's dive into the episode. All right. Hey, guys, how is everyone doing today? Hopefully you're doing well, feeling good, and enjoying something about life. I am here with Donna. Donna, how are you?
I'm good, Juan. How are you?
I'm doing good. And you and I got to spend about half an hour getting to know each other, which I want to catch everybody up on a little bit. Donna shared with me that prior to being a clinician, she was a musician, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then had a band, and your band you took, I guess, all over the U.S.?
Well, the U.S. and the world, actually. One of my favorite gigs I got to do was for the Royal Family of Morocco. That was really exciting.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. And I was just thinking about it, you know, from like a clinical perspective, you know, to have someone that's your therapist and they have that background, I guess that brings something really interesting to the table.
One can only hope, Juan. I mean, that's what I put in my bio, that, you know, I've had such a variety of experiences in my life, you know, working in business and working in the performing arts and, you know, obviously as a therapist, but I'm doing a myriad of things in publishing and, you know, marketing and all kinds of stuff. But music has really been the thing, and the theater arts too, that's been my greatest passion until becoming a sex and couples therapist.
Then that one took a number one spot.
Yeah. Well, with COVID, you know, I think we were talking a little bit about before that the music gigs aren't happening at the moment. And so luckily I still love this music. I love this work. It's as exciting and sort of passion filled as the music. So I feel very lucky that I was able to make that crossover without being, you know, missing the music too much. This is really exciting work because it's very, it's just a great way to help people, to provide them with pleasure, right? Like music does in a way. And, you know, I think as all therapists, you could probably relate to it. I love helping people change to have a just sort of a better quality of life.
Oh yeah. I think we all relate to that one, you know, being here to help others. Mm-hmm. I like that, you know, you didn't shy away from allowing everyone that could hire you, that could work with you to know your full story, you know, to know that outside of a clinician, you know, it's also that music background. I think a lot of times when there's counselors in the field, social workers, you know, just anyone being out there in private practice, there could be that struggle of how much of myself do I show, you know, do I just put the credentials, you know, LPC or, you know, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And I think what you did is exactly what we all should do. Well, we'd look at, you know, allowing all of you to be there so that the people that you work with know, you know, that yes, you're a clinician, but you're also a real person too. And you've done some really awesome shit in life. And that, I think that relates, you know, that lets people see how you stand out. I think highlights that brand, if you will.
Well, thanks for saying that, because I got to tell you, I really did struggle with that. And I have a marketing team now that I lean on pretty heavily to ask them questions like that. You know, in the beginning, you know, how much should I share? What's good to share? What's not good to share? Of course, people oftentimes will come to me and say, I stalked you. I found out you're a singer and I looked at your videos and I'm so embarrassed, you know, but whatever. People are people. We're all human. And I'm really okay with just being very much out there. Cause look, the subject of sex, right. And relationships, maybe sex more is something. My mission is to really help people become more comfortable talking about that. And so if I can't be transparent and real, how can I expect my clients to be?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, exactly. Very well put.
So I'm delighted to hear that you think I did a good job, but thank you.
I think you did an awesome job. And it seems that, you know, when we exit like graduate school, whether it's, you know, you're doing a doctorate or a master's, there's a lot of push on boundaries, which there should be.
Yes.
And I think some of us take it to the point of like Sigmund Freud, where it's, you know, I'm going to have a patient. I want you to look away from me. And then you know, they don't really get to know you. And, you know, you being able to say that, you know, I'm being vulnerable here. I'm sharing parts of my life because those parts have allowed me to be who I am today. Still with, you know, ethics, of course, and some healthy boundaries there.
Yes, I
think it lets other people see you as you are. And then it makes it easier for them to enter that space and say, hey, this is me.
Yeah. And as you know, being a therapist yourself, I'll share readily, but only if it's going, if it's of benefit to my clients.
Absolutely.
You know, and very little bits at a time. Even if I share anything, and sometimes it's nothing is relevant in my own life. But I will share pretty readily with folks that, for example, I did the work that I'm sharing with my clients myself. I worked with a wonderful ASEP certified sex therapist, my husband and I both. And that's the reason that I sort of stumbled on this niche or niche, if you will, because I found that it really worked. And I was looking for sort of a target population. I struggled for many years, not really knowing where I wanted to specialize. And this was it, not only because it works, but also because it's so inclusive and it's a way of of helping folks of all, you know, backgrounds, walks of life. You know, I work with the LGBTQIA population as a sex therapist. I work with BIPOC populations, you know, trying to sort of help folks who are down the hierarchy, if you will, to become empowered and to step into their strength and to do away with the stigma that affects people, you know, of so many walks of life. So for me, and being a woman, you know, I feel that it's so important to help women become empowered and to help so many people become empowered.
That's a beautiful message.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it seems like it's one that, you know, you cultured and you fostered. When did you start your private practice?
So I started my private practice on my birthday in 2011.
It's a good birthday present. Hopefully that was a good birthday present.
Oh, yeah, it was. I was excited. I had like one client that day. And I was so excited because I was going to see this person in my own office, my private practice office. So that was, let's see, if that was 2011 and I got my degree in 2003, I was 9 years into agency work.
Okay.
And I stayed at the agency until 2013. So I did the agency work for 10 years, which was great. It really helped me understand, you know, how to sort of be disciplined as a practitioner. I'm really glad I did it, but I'm really glad I left it because this was a way to just pursue my dream. And it's hard. It's a lot of work. A lot of work, as you know.
Was that part of the plan to?
Yes. Yes.
First do agency and then transition into private practice?
Not really, but I figured out that's how it had to work. You know, I couldn't really do the private practice without the agency work because I had to learn somewhere. So, you know, as you know, we were just talking about you get out of grad school and it's kind of like acting school. When I did acting school long ago, it didn't prepare me for the business of acting. When I was 21, it just taught me how to act and that was fine. But then, okay, how do you get jobs? So graduate school is great. Social work graduate school. I went to Rhode Island College, which was very reasonably priced and excellent teachers, but I wasn't really prepared necessarily for how do you create a private practice. I had no idea. So I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. Yeah. And now you're doing that. I just said to you, I wish you'd been around 15 years ago, Juan. you could have taught me something, but you know, I just sort of had to figure it out as I went along and it worked out. It worked out.
That's awesome. I love that one foot, you know, in front of the other. And I think you're right. You know, that agency work, it can really be overwhelming and, you know, push us to that scary word of burnout. It can also be very rewarding. You know, you really go into trenches, you know, you learn about ethics and boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, how to serve others, how to take care of yourself while being there for others. And then you got to that point where you started your practice. What type of route did you take? You know, was it traditional where you got a new office, brand new furniture?
So my private practice is in my home. And I'm really lucky that, you know, my husband and I live in a very modest area of New Bedford, Massachusetts, charming seaport city. I say modest because it's, you know, we're not in the high tax neighborhood, But that's good because it's allowed, it's allowed me to have money to travel, which is my second love in life. But it's this old house. It's a really charming New England, I forget what you call it. It's three stories. And I'm able to have my private practice up far away from where my
nice
home is. And so I've saved a lot of money that way. I did for a minute in time go rent some space elsewhere. But that just didn't work for me. The space just sort of wasn't for me. And after 25 years of traveling back and forth from New York as a musician, I really liked a 3-flight commute.
I bet. Yeah.
So, and there was a little bit of a struggle, like, okay, I'm going to work out of my house as a sex therapist. How's that going to work? But, you know, that all worked out too. So I started my private practice in 2011, left the agency in 2013. And the reason I was able to do that, you know, and as most practitioners know, if you do good work, people will find out about you, you know, yes. Doctors and, you know, other folks who are in the healthcare field will start to learn your name and that you're kind of a go-to person. So if you're building that reputation for yourself, that's great. It happened by accident that I can't remember what I was doing. I was signing up for an insurance company to get contracted with them. I don't remember if it was Medicare or Blue Cross or Blue Shield. And they wanted to know what my website was. And I'm like, I don't have a website. So I peeked around at what all my colleagues were doing. And I saw they were all on psychologytoday.com.
Yeah.
For $30 a month, I signed up on psychologytoday.com. And the phone has not stopped ringing since.
Perfect.
So if anyone is wanting to start a private practice, I highly recommend Psychology Today. You know, as well as networking, you know, I'm a member of NASW, which is the National Association of Social Workers, now as an ASECT certified sex therapist, which is the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. I'm also a member there. That was an excellent way of networking and connecting with other practitioners and clinicians who are always looking for folks. You know, can you take some clients? Do you have any openings like that? Mm-hmm. I'm now newly a member of NEAFAST, which is the New England Association of Family and Systemic Therapists. And we're doing a lot of work around anti-racism and okay. sort of training and really trying to get that mission is so important to me. I'm actually on a mission now to try to get the NASW to mandate that all therapists take anti-racism training.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
It's so important because I see people fumbling and making lots of sort of microaggressions and they don't mean it. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, it's 2020. You know, we got to hurry up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that you're doing that. And those are great routes. So you took the route of putting yourself in spaces with other clinicians, you know, being members of those organizations, that way you're networking. I love that you're doing that. Psychology mm-hmm. Today. I think that's a, you know, really powerful place there. Yes. There's other ones like Good Therapy or Theravive. Mm-hmm. I noticed that with them, they seem to be, the algorithm, you know, seems to be connected to like the location. I've had individuals mm-hmm. I've done consultation with where they're in different parts of this, of the US. And mm-hmm. they'll say, you know, Good Therapy works awesome here, but Psychology Today, you know, one patient maybe during that month. And I always gotten curious on why certain places it, you know, works a little bit better. And mm-hmm. I think it's just due to maybe whatever the algorithm is there versus, you know, in different locations.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was told about Good Therapy years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And I never did it because I just haven't had time. I've been so busy that I haven't needed to. Which is, I mean, I feel incredibly lucky. And so, you know, I also think having had, you know, done the music work that I did and having been a kind of an entrepreneur and a self-starter my whole life, this was maybe easier than it might be for other folks. I don't know, maybe not. And would you like to know why I'm a self-starter?
I can see it. Tell me. Let's hear it.
The reason is because I never cared. Now, this is just me. I never cared about the benefits. I never cared about the, you know, how much they're going to match or the insurance. I just really needed my freedom because, as I might have already said, I love traveling and I needed to be able to take off time. So when I was doing agency work, I was actually only doing it part-time and part-time doing my music work so that I just I need to get away when I need to get away. I need to take time off. I hope that you do want, I hope you take enough time off that feels good to you if you're able.
I certainly do. And no, I think what you're sharing is, it's important, you know, the why, you know, before you go into private practice, before you do anything in your life, think about why you're doing it so that you're able to set up structure for your life. Right. I do that where I try to each month take about 7 days off, you know, that I'm stepping away.
Each month?
I do.
You're my new idol, Juan.
It's helpful. I mean, I'm still working, you know, don't think that I'm just sitting back enjoying margaritas.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
they're Bloody Marys, not margaritas. Now we're a little more clear.
I love it.
And I like to connect that to my why, where, you know, during that time, it's focused on traveling. Kids are young, 6 and 4, 7 and 4. Man,
right.
One point I'm going to say like 13, and then I'm going to be like, slow down. She's getting too old. But yeah, that why goes a long way. I have a question. So you mentioned that you took the route of seeing patients in your home.
Yeah.
And I love that you took that route, because I think a lot of times clinicians exit graduate school and then they're ready at some point for private practice. And it seems like everyone goes through just that one traditional route of, let me go rent a place out, buy a bunch of furniture, spend a bunch of money when I have yet to make $0.
Yeah.
And there's your route. There's telehealth now that we see because of COVID.
Yes.
Yes. You know, there's so many other ones where you could even go to the patient's home and work there. But really just up to what you want to do.
Well, I did do that in the agency. I did a lot of home visits. Partly it was good for them, but partly it was a way for me to keep my census up, because, you know, sometimes people couldn't get to the office. So I'd need to go to them, you know, meeting our clients where our clients are at, kind of thing. Right. But it was a struggle. I mean, I really, when I went back to school, so I did my graduate work, I got my master's, you know, and then it was, because I was only doing it part-time along with the music, took me a long time to do those 3000 hours. And then I struggled with being a kind of a sex therapist and having the practice in my home. And, you know, there's no sex that takes place in the office. There's no touching. There's none of that. So, you know, those clear boundaries, you know, that extremely ethical sort of transparency with folks. My training was so helpful around that, getting my certification as a sex therapist. Yeah. I went back to school again in 2017 to get my certification as a sex therapist. And that was, see, that was the thing. And I didn't expect it. This is the thing I guess I want to share with people, is just follow your heart and be willing to go wherever you think there might be possibility. Because I found it in that school, excellent school called the South Shore Sexual Health Center in Quincy in Massachusetts. Teachers there, staff there, amazing people. And the work that I learned there really works. And I have much more success now with clients for successful outcomes than ever. And with sex therapy and couples therapy, the way I'm trained, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. Mm-hmm. So national average for couples to meet their goals is 16 sessions. I want to get people in and I want to get them through and get them out so I can see more people. And my mission is to heal the world. And when I finally have no more clients, I will be happy.
There you go.
Because the world will be healed.
I was right there. I was right there with you. But I've been taking notes because I'm going to put these as quotes on Pinterest.
Oh, cool.
You are doing awesome.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I wish that I hadn't waited so long to trust myself and feel good about the work I was doing. You know, it's slow. Like you said, you know, we're talking about your podcast and it's only been a year. I don't know what the secret is or the answer is. They do say, I'm going to say something that might sound obnoxious, but I'm going to say it to you, is that intelligent people often second guess themselves. So it can be a sign of intelligence in a way that you're not necessarily so confident. You know how this is, Juan. I don't know your politics or anything, but there are a lot of people in the world who really don't think they need to change. And I don't trust them. They think they're good to go and they don't need to learn anything.
Yeah, something fishy going on there.
For me, they're not curious enough. They're a little rigid. They're a little too furious. And I think it's a good thing to take your time and to figure out how to step into yourself and become more confident. The more confident you become, the more confident you become. So it's okay. I'd say trust the process, and you know, here you are and here I am, and it is what it is. And
yeah,
let's just be grateful, I guess, for the success.
Absolutely. And I think that comes with, you know, that business mindset of trusting yourself, of knowing that it's okay to second guess, you know, finding your why, trusting your gut. Did you stumble, you know, as you built your practice? Did you find times where maybe things were getting a little dry, or, you know, patients weren't showing up, or no shows were getting you a little bit scared? But what was that like for you?
Well, I've only recently gotten to the point where when people cancel, I'm happy because I need a break. You know how that is sometimes?
Yeah, yeah.
You just sort of, it's funny. I was at my primary care physician's office one day, and she had a cancellation, and I said, how are you feeling about that? And she said, oh, I'm so thrilled. She's like, I need to breathe. And I thought, I want to get to that place where that's thrilling if someone cancels.
Yeah.
You know, so that you have the space to breathe. But, you know, it's been a constant battle back and forth about, and maybe you can relate to this, maybe not, where it's a slow week. And then I'm like, uh-oh, it's a slow week. Uh-oh. And then it's a really busy week. And I'm thinking, I wish it wasn't so busy. You know, you're sort of always wanting what you can't have. But now I'm trying to just be comfortable with whatever happens, happens. And I'm looking at my census, I guess you'd call it, or however many clients over the course of, say, a month or a quarter, not week by week.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent way to look at it. I like to kind of keep an eye on like metrics. So for instance, in the beginning of the year, my wife and I, we both run the practice. So we'll look at number of clients that we'd like to be able to serve, whether it's ourselves or in the group practice, financial goals quarterly. So that when I find myself in those moments of, it's a lot of no-shows today. Mm-hmm. There's like that automatic thought that when I was right out of graduate school and I was going into private practice, where I would get so anxious and so nervous because we dove in. My daughter was just born.
Oh yeah.
And I had like this immense pressure of, you know, Juan, you got to really step up. You know, you can't screw this up. You know, you got to put food on the table. That'll come up, and it still does. You know, there's times where there's those no-shows. And that thought and energy will come up of like this anxiety. And then I have to like breathe through it and say, okay, it's okay.
Mm.
You know, you structure things are fine. And then I go into like that doctor where it's like, oh, I've got myself a nice break. Let me go get some coffee or let me get my band and do a couple of workouts.
Yeah.
And it works out. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Using the time to just sort of, you know, live your life, right? So we want to work to live, not live to work.
There we go. Another good quote. Yeah.
And I have gotten much more comfortable now with a very strict no-show policy. You know, people, I really ask people, and they sign on in the beginning, literally, that if it's a late cancellation, that it's a full fee for the full session, for the full hour, because I can't replace it. If they give me at least 24 to 48 hours, no worries, they can cancel, because usually somebody needs some other client I can serve. If they're sick on the day of, I don't charge them because unpredictable. Or if there's some dire medical or emergency, I don't charge. And I have found that the better boundaries I've had around it, the better it works for everybody, including me.
Yeah. I think I ran across some study or article where, you know, the better boundaries there are with those no-shows, it increases the effectiveness of treatment, because I think we start to treat it a little more serious. What did you do? Because it's a tough one for people. I get that as a common question when they're consulting. How do I get better with my no-show? I think people struggle with, you know, sticking up and saying, hey, there was a late fee. Let's collect it.
Yeah. Well, I know. And I think that has to do with how we value ourselves. And I know that I'm bringing a lot of value to the session with my couples. And we discuss how it's a collaboration. And I have a responsibility to show up for them. And they have a responsibility to show up for themselves. And if someone just doesn't show up, then that's harmful to the relationship going forward. It has to be a two-way street.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair for anyone to just not communicate that they're not going to be there at the appointed time, whether it's me or them. So, I always feel that I'm sort of modeling that. And I want people to value themselves. I want to be a model for them or a mentor in that way, in that they should expect the same kind of two-way street in their own relationships.
Yeah. I like that. I think it could be helpful. So it seems like from your end, it came more inward, you know, to be able to stick to that boundary.
Yes and no. I got a lot of coaching along the way.
Who did you get coaching from?
Well, when I went back to study for my certification for sex therapy, that it's very productive and it's very functional work. So it's very concrete. It's do this, don't do that. Yeah. Do that, don't do this. Whether it's for our clients or for ourselves as therapists, it's here's what works and here's what doesn't.
Okay.
If I'm not feeling good when I walk away from a missed appointment or a broken agreement around that, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also applies to the same idea of going overtime. I'm still not great at this. I tend to go too long sometimes with clients, but I have to watch that for myself and stick to time because you don't want to go too long for folks. Mm-hmm. So I often have to set an alarm because I love the work so much I'll go on and on all day, but that's not necessarily beneficial because it can be exhausting.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's nice to know. And I say to couples, you know, as you're meeting your goals and things are getting better, you'll notice the sessions are getting shorter, they're getting lighter. And isn't that lovely?
Yeah. That's a good nugget there. I think being able to acknowledge it's important for us to put ourselves in spaces where we can ask help from others, like in that certification program. Mm-hmm. Whenever you picked up your marketing team, was that an easy decision to do, to kind of put yourself out there, pay somebody else to help build what you wanted to build?
No, because it was so expensive.
I was hoping you'd say yes, just so everybody listening could be like, oh, that sounds easy. Let's do it.
No, I'm happy now, but you know, the reason I think my website looks so good is because it was expensive. I mean, I'll just tell folks, I think I spent something like between $7,000 and $8,000. To me, that was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're excellent. And now I'm so grateful. I'm delighted. But when I did the math and I crunched the numbers, I went from, for example, early in my private practice, I did my own billing. After about 4 years, I decided I could make more by paying somebody else to do my billing.
Yeah.
Right. You know, my hourly fee was higher than I would pay my billing people. So I did that for a while. And then I decided to take that money. I decided to jump off of taking insurance. That was a big leap. Because I was like, how am I going to do this? But I needed the marketing for that. So I got a lot of good coaching around. If you have a niche or a niche, a specialization, and you market it, if you build it, they will come.
There we go.
And that is what happened. And I thought, if I can find the cojones, to quote you earlier, to value myself, this is good modeling for others.
Yeah.
And valuing oneself means investing in oneself. Mm-hmm. And it really has paid off. It's made my life a lot easier. I love my marketing people. They're a great team. I also have a supervisor or a peer consultant, another person, a sex therapist, who I speak to once or twice a month or whenever needed, and I pay him. And so having that whole team feels so good.
There you go. You laid it out perfectly. I think that in essence builds a successful business, having the right team, support people around you. You know, it's always good to be around people that know a little bit more or a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that we don't have to struggle and fall down.
Yeah. And I learned, you know, as a musician with my band, my partner and I never really paid big bucks to do a professional website. We paid a little here and there along the way. I think had we done that, we would have had greater success. We were pretty successful. I was happy. We had as much work as we wanted. But in this field, I thought, no, it's time. I mean, I'm in my 50s. It's time to really start doing it on a higher level of professionalism. And I'm glad I did. It's worth it.
Perfect. Yeah. And I think you gave a good math equation there, being able to look at what you would bring in, right? So like a typical therapist out there makes, let's say, $100.
Yes.
And it takes you 1 hour to do your billing, we'll say.
Yes.
How much would it cost for somebody else to do the billing? You know, let's just say $20.
Well, actually, my billing company was expensive. They were more like 70.
Okay. 70. So you still, you know, you still got that 30 over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So in crunching those numbers and doing the math, I just got tired of doing my own billing too. I started to become more in love with the work itself. And I thought, how do I want to spend my time? Do I want to do the work or do I want to do the billing? And yeah, so I keep crunching the numbers all along the way. Mm-hmm. Like recently, I just raised my prices, in fact, and I feel like in a year from now, I want to be having lots more clients at that new rate. I'll still have a lot at the old rate because mm-hmm. I'm not going to raise my prices on those folks. They're already in the door, but they will be on their way. You know, I have clients again who there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There are some who are longer term, you know, years, mm-hmm. and that's fine too. But I want to be looking when I'm 61 at, you know, again, increasing sort of feeling, you know, my wealth, not only for myself, but just feeling better and better about all of it.
Yeah, I think you certainly should. You know, each year you develop more skills, more knowledge. You probably get better at your craft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which right away goes into, you know, your fee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Before we close off for today, today's has been a really exciting episode. I've enjoyed getting to know you and hearing, you know, the amazing things you've been able to do. Thank you.
Yeah.
If anyone out there wants to connect with you, and I'm going to put all your links on the show notes too. How are they able to do that?
Well, they can call my office at 508-990-9909. I'm in New Bedford, Massachusetts. My website is www.sexandcouplestherapy.com, just like it sounds, S-E-X-A-N-D, couplestherapy.com. On Instagram, I am the Happy Ending Therapist. I also have a podcast. And on Facebook, I'm the Sex and Couples Therapist.
Awesome. Perfect. What's the name of the podcast?
The Happy Ending, it's Sex and Couples Therapy with the Happy Ending Therapist. Hi, I'm Donna Harris Richards, your sex positive sex therapist.
There we go. Perfect. I love that. Yeah. Well, Donna, it has been a pleasure. I hope that you have an amazing day, guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks you for too. Spending another episode with us.
You too, Juan. Thanks for being a dad. You know, very quickly, I just want to say I love working with dads because I get to talk to them about how if dads are close with their daughters in terms of their development and sexual development over time, when they get their periods, when they start dating, when they get married, relationships, etc., they have higher rates of income, higher job satisfaction, higher, better quality of relationships, and overall life happiness. So.
Well, thank you. Perfect. Yeah. I'm gonna keep that one there and certainly continue.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a little bit different than I was thinking. I was thinking more of make sure I get my karate skills up to keep these future mates away.
Keep her pursuers away, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's okay too. Yeah, go for it.
Well, thank you.
All right, Juan, great meeting you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. As you head out today, guys, I want you to give yourself a big old hug, a big old high five, because listen, you're doing it. You're taking time out of your day to build your six-figure private practice. You are tapping into ambition. You're tapping into curiosity, and you're doing it here together. We're holding hands. We're walking on this journey, a private practice journey. Before you head off, do me a kindness. Leave me a review. Let me know what you think about this episode. Let me know which episode really stuck out to you. Which one made you go, yes, I need to start doing a little bit more of that. Or yes, I am doing that and I'm proud of myself for doing that. I am seeing amazing changes. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to growing together on our journey.